Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back.
That's right, that's
right. It's going to be us. We can drink and talk shit as much as we want. Nobody can say anything to us.
D.L. Hughley, Uncut.
Hey, welcome to the D.L. Hughley Show. D.L. Hughley, I'm Cut. Of course, I am D.L. Hughley.
I'm Jasmine Sanders.
I'm Roger Rittenhouse.
Yeah.
In the Roger!
House.
Yeah,
in the house.
In the house. Like, oh,
finally.
Wow. And that's a full house with Roger Rittenhouse.
Yeah. White man in the house.
Right there. Well, that, yeah. Man. You should put white man in the big house.
They would have
been
do
historical.
That. Don't do that.
It's interesting because a lot has happened since you've been here, of course. Even we were off on hiatus for a couple of weeks. But I think there were a lot of people about the Derek Chauvin, trial. It was interesting because there was a lot of cynicism. Like, a lot of black people didn't feel like it was going to happen. Like, you could tell it was a lot of black people that showed up, like, to protest. And then when it was guilty on all charges, like, what are we going to do with all these bricks? Yeah. It's crazy.
What are we going to do with all this anger?
I don't even know what I'm doing with these Molotov cocktails. What the fuck is this?
Yeah.
So they still just marched around. But I think that even that, there's an interesting dichotomy, because a lot of people who saw that video saw a man being murdered. And then I read a survey, a study that says 50% of half of Republicans believe the verdict was wrong.
Yeah,
I don't understand how, because wrong in what way? Because if that would mean to me that there's nothing you could do to black people, that would be tantamount to murder.
No, they actually, but they're saying they actually believe he died of natural causes.
Right.
Just as a cop had his knee on his neck
right.
for 9.5
right,
minutes.
Right,
they
right.
actually think that there was some.
Yeah.
You know,
but we always
that.
Die of natural causes. We all like to us.
Yeah.
Like, because dying for us is a natural state.
Yeah. No, I think I wasn't cynical at all. I thought there was no way wasn't going to be a guilty on all counts.
You knew what happened. When they had a diverse jury, when I knew there were four people on the jury, and it came back. So now I was telling her, talking to Jasmine, and I said, if it got past the second day, I would start to wondering, because then it would be people, you know, who are actually having... But they actually broke OJ jury's record
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
Hey, we weren't lunch, but you can get it to go.
They had no questions.
Yes.
There was no delay.
Right.
They were like, yeah,
right.
guilty on all three.
And I think once, like I said, when I knew the jury was diverse, I knew that there was no way in hell that a jury with that many black people were going to be convinced that quickly that he was innocent.
But if that video didn't exist, that
we wouldn't be having
right. He'd be out.
Of course, because... There's nothing you could say about black people that white people in the aggregate aren't inclined to believe. That we are, like, it was interesting because when the prosecutor was giving his final argument, he talked about how there were no superhumans out there. He didn't possess superhuman strength. But as a prosecutor, he used the opposite argument before.
Yeah.
I guarantee you he's benefit from the idea that this person is superhuman. They have superhuman strength. So it's just this thing in the zeitgeist where you believe that what happens to black people, whatever you have to do to us, is okay because some kind of way. Like, I just, to me, this is just, I know that this is really an advanced idea. But what if somebody, if cops are restraining somebody and that person said they can't breathe, and they believe him? Like, what would be the worst thing that would happen? If I took my knee off your neck, or took you out of a chokehold, or four people got off of you and just left a handcuff on you because you said you couldn't breathe, what would be the, like, what is this thing that's supposed to happen if you stop choking people to death? Like, what is the thing that we're supposed to?
I don't know, but I think we've got a long way to go before we get to that point, which is why we can't slow up the fight now. I think when you look at the number of people who've been killed since George Floyd, it shows us that these people still believe that they can kill us and get away with it.
Well, I think a lot of these things happened. I think there was a direct correlation between obviously systemic things that had always happened. But when Donald Trump went, you don't have to be so rough with them, and then he took the oversight, the Department of Justice basically doing their job, which is overseeing and make sure justice is done, even law enforcement, it embodied them and it emboldened them. And they got braver and braver. I think there are a couple of things. I think this notion of qualified immunity is a freedom that no other occupation is given. No other one is given that. The presumption that you're acting in good faith you would never give that to anybody. Mm-hmm. Because everybody else has a series of checks and balances. Every other profession, planes have redundant systems so that if something happens to them and there's an unfortunate accident, there's a system where we get to track and see where we're wrong. And then there's the transportation bureau comes out and puts the whole thing together and does an analysis of what went wrong. And when somebody is shot to death, I think that's an example of something going wrong in America. And we don't put that much time into doing a postmortem.
But I think also when you consider the fact when you're talking about airlines, you're talking about all types of people from different walks of life on the plane, right?
Right.
Blacks, whites,
right.
Everybody. But when you look at what the police are doing, they are targeting black people. So it's the blacks who are dying. So that's why you don't have a lot of insight the way you should.
You're
that's why
you're right.
You don't have a lot of investigations like you should, right? They grounded a whole slew of planes because of one that went down, right?
And it wasn't even in America. It wasn't even in America. It was another country. But I just think that now people are inclined to move, but almost at every turn, there has been a compromise in black people's benefit. The thing that benefited black people has been the bargaining chip. From the Missouri Compromise to always the compromise means, I'm always nervous when I hear conservative white people and liberal white people reach a compromise because I know the niggas is going to get fucked over.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to DL Uncut. Our first guest is an actor and filmmaker, and his latest film, American Skin, is available on all major streaming platforms. Please welcome Nate Parker.
What's up, young man? How you?
I'm good, brother. Good to be on with you all.
I got to tell you, I'm a big, big fan of you.
Yeah, me too.
I'm a big fan of yours.
Likewise. I'm surprised I haven't done this Yeah, I've been waiting to do this.
Well, good. Now we got it together. I saw Birth of a Nation, and my only complaint, they didn't kill enough white people. I just thought that there should have been, like, I wanted him to run
free,
little longer.
Yeah, agreed.
But one of the things about that story, which I think that we have a tendency in stories like that that have dealt with slavery and the evils of slavery, there's only so much that America is going to watch black people win. In any situation, all our stories basically start in the middle, from where we were slaves to, you know, we get half victories, we get placatory victories. But even in Birth of a Nation, which I thought was an exceptional film, you don't get a sense that was seen as a victory, and that only the public would only be able to take so much of black people winning. Even though I think as a audience, we would like a little more. You dig what I'm saying?
I completely understand. And the interesting thing to think about is the pressure that is put on the few to really contribute to the lexicon of who we are and the breadth of our capacity. It's so hard because we're not the gatekeepers if we're keeping it real. You know, for us to be able to even tell our story, we have to go and ask a white person for money.
Right.
You know, I've always felt that feeling of, you know, hello, Mr. White Man, can you give me some money so I can tell a story that exploits you and takes away from your privilege? And
right. Well, when you put it that way, yeah, that probably wasn't the best pitch.
Yeah, but it is difficult over and over and over and over to watch movies like that, especially when we already know the history and then we live it. And then we watch it. And sometimes it's very difficult because it does seem very traumatizing over and over and over to see us almost win, but not. Almost win, but not.
I think why it's difficult is because we don't have any power in this country. So in the absence of solutions, we watch it and we feel stuck. There are other cultures who have gone through traumas, and they make sure their children know exactly what they went through. They show it to them over and over and over, make sure they don't forget, and convince them if they're not careful, it can happen again.
Right.
But we're in a country where we're not empowered, you know, and we're relying on the very people that terrorized us to liberate us, to feed us, to educate our children, to keep us safe. And we wonder why time and time again, we find ourselves in situations where we're broken and we're traumatized and we're looking around like, what do we do next? You know, so I understand, you know, as someone who is trying to create counter-programming to what we're going through by showing our victories within the context of our defeats, because it's important. We cannot put ourselves in a position where we forget the systematic thing that has happened to us, right?
Because right.
Systemically, or we just can't catch up, can't get right.
Right, you're eight, right, whatever. Right.
Or something that's happened systemically.
Right.
So we have to be clear in saying this is the systemic thing that has happened. You know who does that? Everybody else.
Yeah, that's true.
I was having that very argument yesterday, because almost everything, when people say, why don't you pull yourself by your bootstraps? For every time black people recruited started any forward motion, there was something systemically that took it, whether it was the Highway Acts or Manifest Destiny. Here in California, in Los Angeles, there was a black family that owned beachfront property, and they took it from them just because they could. And so these kinds of things replicate themselves over and over again. And to your point, either we are incredibly morally flawed human beings as black people, or there has been something that put us in a position where we're always in this milieu. Either it's us or the system.
And if we can't agree on that, then there's nowhere to go. If 0 to 1, we're trying to convince people that something systemic has happened to us that has created this circumstance where it's like playing the lottery to be successful in this country if you're a black person.
Right.
If we have to convince people of that, then we're at zero. Those people need to move out of the way. We're so far past that.
It's interesting because everybody always uses the crab in a bucket analogy. But anything you put in a foreign environment that lack resources would act the same way. Where the crabs don't belong in a bucket any more than black people belong in the project or in the situation we find ourselves in. But it is always like the whole term black on black crime, which we have endorsed and given a full throat endorsement to, is the idea is that it's just about us and a moral failing of us, and all people kill what they're around. All people do. Like when you look at the drug wars in Mexico and talk about how horrible it is, it's a lot of Mexicans killing Mexicans. Or when you see any of these tribal wars, it's the same thing.
Check this out. If you put a 100-foot fence around Beverly Hills, right, and you didn't bring any food in there, any resources, right, and you wait 3 weeks, guess what you're going to see?
Cannibalism.
Yeah.
4 weeks, guess what you're going to see? Terrorism and white on white destruction.
Right.
You wait a year, guess what you're going to see? Everybody's going to be dead except for the people that did what they had to do to survive. The only difference is we're in that situation. We did not put ourselves in the situation. It was done to us, and we are being literally chastised, and we're literally being told that we're wrong for trying to survive under parameters that we did not design for ourselves, that we've been with for generations.
But you're doing this through art. You're telling a story, these iterations, through art, and it's very interesting because there are a lot of Birth of a Nation and American Skin that have similarities to me, even to the Chauvin trial, which we just watched. And both of them, all of those elements from the Birth of a Nation to the American Skin to the Chauvin trial, they bore the notion that black people, there's no way that we're innocent in any way, that we should all be killed, and whatever happens to us, we bought on ourselves.
Right.
Whatever happens to us, it couldn't have been like it wasn't his knee on his neck. It was
carbon monoxide.
It was he had a bad heart. It was he did drugs. And half of the country believes that. Even in American Skin, which we're going to talk about later, which I thought was a brilliant film. What were you doing here? I think that we just have to accept the fact that this country, by and large, doesn't feel sorry for two things: young black men or great white sharks. They don't feel for either. They're like, either. At least they get shark weeks. They get the shark week. But they just have little sympathy for black people because there's always this notion that we have played a part in whatever has happened to us.
But isn't it sad that we have to depend on the empathy of our oppressor to have progress?
It is.
That our progress is rooted in our hope that they are empathetic and compassionate. Isn't that backward?
It is.
When we think about the trial, we think about, it's not our game. It's, you know what it's like? It's like if I invite you over to my house for game night, you walk in expecting to see, I don't know, Life, Monopoly, and I have cut out a cardboard, a new game that I've invented. And I tell you, hey, here are the rules. All right, we're going to skip you three times, and then you get to go. All right, if you go and the number is something we don't like, we get to vote on you having another number. And you're like, man, if I could just get good at this game, if I can just get them to see that what they're doing is wrong, like we have to, you know, I'm a firm believer in this. We have to think less about how white people see us and more about how we've been conditioned to see ourselves.
Exactly.
You got to step out of their feet. You got to step off the board and stop begging them to see what is so obvious. Because look, there's no amount of signs that's going to stop them from killing us. And I don't mean just killing us in law enforcement. I mean killing us in education. I mean killing us in real estate. I mean killing us in community. I mean killing us in healthcare. I mean killing us in finance. I mean killing us in the prison industrial complex. Like, these are our realities. Because guess what? If a real estate person could carry a gun and they were showing houses in the black community and we were going in to see them houses, you know what we start seeing in the news?
Right.
Well, another real estate person has killed a black person.
Right, 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 right.
You know, we just focused on this one thing because it is so overt and topical, and our children are dying. But it is a part, again, of a system that is doing what it's designed to do. So knowing that we're in the United States of America and nothing is designed to change quickly, what do we do? Do we keep begging and pass this down three or four generations? Or do we rethink the way that we see ourselves, see our capacity, see our contribution? You know, in a year where we're in the 100-year anniversary of Tulsa, Black Wall Street, no one's talking about it.
Right.
But what does that look like when you say, because we've heard so many things that people say we should do. I think we were talking to someone who said that we should all move to a certain part of the country all together. And that's how we will be able to pull our power together to make a change politically. What does that look like when you say see ourselves differently and move in a different way? What does that look like?
I'll say this, and I will preface it by saying, God knows I don't want to offend anyone and I don't want to be hit in the head. But think of it like this. We're the only people that did not come here as immigrants. So we're the only people that don't have a mindset to come to America and exploit the American dream. We are refugees.
That's right? Why when people say, how come they get to do this? Like, people have this argument. They go through and they come here and they, because there has never been a group of people where everything was set up for them to either lose or if you start to win, I'll change the entire parameter of the game.
or just burn everything up.
Yep.
But that's what we're dealing with. I think that that is where we start, right? The reality is our circumstance is different than any other people that have existed in the history of the world. We're erased from our roots. We hear people literally say, man, I ain't going to Africa. I don't know nobody over there. The tragedy in that statement, how will we survive another 50 years being a tree with no roots? That's my question. Like, if we're still dealing with the things that Carter G. Woodson and Booker T. Washington, Paul Robeson, Audre Lorde, Rosa Parks, if we're still dealing with the, not even kind of, but the exact same issues, what makes us think in 50 years things will be different? The answer is they won't be different. We just won't be here.
Yeah. I think you raise, to me, there has always been, and maybe it's one of the reasons why your work resonates with me, there's always been a sense of righteous indignation, like earned indignation, that, like, even watching Birth of a Nation, Nat Turner was forced to do it. He believed in God. He believed in a system. He believed that he was doing what he could for his people. And then all of a sudden, since that societal parameter told him that that was impossible, that it was a lie. That everything he believed, so he believed another thing. I think when I was watching American Skin, which I think, again, is a brilliant film, but set that up for me a little bit before we talk about it, because we're not allowed to play clips here because we can't pay for it. But
we can't afford it.
But the premise of American Skin is what?
It follows a man who is a veteran, a black man, whom after losing his son to police violence, decides to take a different route toward justice, one that he hopes will not only vindicate the death of his son, but paint to America a clear picture about his circumstance and our circumstance as black people in America.
And he ends up, I don't want to ruin it for you, right. But Nat Turner have us share the same.
Well, I'll sum it up. Him, Nat Turner, and Huey Newton.
Yeah, you know, right.
He said the revolutionary must first realize he's doomed.
Yep.
Yeah. That is the line. If you talk about what keeps them together, they didn't go into the situation thinking, well, if these people who are hurting us really come to their senses before the end of this situation, right, we'll be okay. They went in understanding, well, I know this is not going to end well, but that's okay because I'm putting the future in front of me. I'm trying to break down a barrier that I'll pay for with my life.
Right.
And I think sacrifice that is different from those who have come before us and those who are walking around now, we just got too much stuff. People don't want to give nothing up.
Right.
People ain't ready to die.
Right.
You know?
I'm not either, but I love the movie. I'm going to watch a movie. I got some shit to do. Listen, Native, you're going to start talking this kind of shit. you know what was hilarious? I really, I was watching and you were talking about, you know, the film and how you hoped it would, both sides would develop empathy, which is a weird thing to me, because how does the side that is getting killed have to how do you develop empathy for the people who are doing it and thinking that they are not doing anything wrong?
Only one way, and that is understanding that it is more systemic than the person that is programmed to do the thing that they're programmed to do. That, to me, is the secret sauce. I don't think sending one person to prison and us cheering and crying and
right,
being so happy, it's going to change anything.
Right.
I think that we say, okay, you know, my degree was in management science and information systems. So I was a programmer in school, right? I had a professor tell me once, he said, a program is not going to do anything that you don't program it to do. You can be mad at the program. You can punch the keyboard. You can scream at me. But whatever you programmed it to do is what it's going to do. If you want to fix it, you have to fix the line of code. And I think sometimes we're banging the computer for doing the wrong thing. We're throwing it against the wall, cursing whatever operating system, not recognizing that there's a problem in the code.
Right.
There's a problem in the code.
How is there a problem in the code when some people think that it's functioning just like it should? Like, we live
like
in a country right now
do.
Where yeah. we saw either, depending on what side of the moral line you're on, either you saw an insurrection or patriots who were misled. Or patriots who are doing the right thing and we are misled. So it depends. So we have killed truth and objectivity to the extent that you can only have, that we look at exactly the same things and it has a different meaning to predicated on what you want to believe.
But you're assuming that there's equity. Like, we're not both standing on either sides looking in the middle like, it ain't our game. We don't have any rights. For people to say, if they were black people, you know what? If they were black people, they never would have tried that shit.
Correct.
Hey, man, you know what we're going to do? We're going to get a couple guns.
Nigga, you out your goddamn mind.
Nope.
Right.
Signs and just walk around in a circle with these signs. I'm not going out
there. Right.
You get what I'm saying? Carter G. Woodson has this great quote, right? He said, when you control a person's thinking, you don't have to worry about their actions. You don't have to tell them to go to the back door. They'll go to the back door on their own. And if there is no back door, they will cut one out for their pleasure. That is the United States of America. We have been conditioned to think a certain way, to act a certain way, to go to the back door when we need to, and not trip on the fact that we go into the back door. Why? Because it's clear the rules in this country.
But as a filmmaker, you ultimately want to make successful films, want to make films that audiences... So, and I think the only time, and I say this all the time, the only time they listen to black people is when we're singing, dancing, running, or jumping. That's it. We can't. So is your hope, through an art prism, to that vantage point, show them a nuanced presentation that they're not quite sure that what they're watching? Or is it to just... make films you like?
My responsibility first is to people who look like me. And I say that without shame, without embarrassment, you know, straight, no chaser. Because we are the ones that need the counter programming that, you know, the United States of America has been so clear and bullish on imposing upon us since we were brought here. So for me, it's like, how do we see ourselves differently? And media, you know, we know media has been used to exterminate people. You know, and I'm using media as a form of propaganda to kind of reintroduce us to a way of thinking that, you know, can give us a collective we. You know, we're how many years from not being able to close the door without a white person being in the room? You know, it's like if we're not recognizing the fact that there is programming happening every day that is designed to make us, our children, our children's children feel less than, then we're misguided. You know, and I think that's the thing to recognize, you know, like we're it's not fair. We're not playing in a fair system. So trying to get the system to recognize its flaws when, like you both said, it's designed to do, it's doing the thing it was designed to do, that's shame on us. That's not shame on them.
I think
so. Then how
right.
do we become reprogrammed, right? You talked about if you bang on the computer, unless you put the proper information in to reprogram the system, how do we do that? Because a lot of us don't know. A lot of us don't know that we need to be reprogrammed and rebooted. We don't know.
Right. Well, that's what we're doing. I think the power, see, think of it like this. I'll go back to what I said in the beginning. Being black in America and being expected to succeed, it's like getting in the line and buying a lottery ticket and holding on to that lottery ticket for dear life, thinking this is my shot. When you realize you don't win, you crumple it up and go and throw it on the ground. That is the prison justice complex. That is the school to prison pipeline. It's all connected. So what we have to do is step away from that lottery game, recognize that we might have to tighten our belts a bit, but tune in to shows like this and recognize where they are allowing us to succeed, that there are opportunities to reprogram. This is the most unique show in the airwaves. And yeah. I would imagine the UDL said, you know what? Excuse my language. F this. I'm doing it. I don't care what it takes. But
it's like you were in the meeting. You must have been my agent.
You must have been my agent.
Because that's exactly what happened. Right.
Backlash. I don't care. Because if not, we're just, it's almost like, you know, solution competition. We sit around in our coffee shops, you know, bougie and privileged, because I am, to be honest, we're not, you know, a lot of the people that look like us. We're doing a lot better.
Right.
But we sit around and say, you know what it is? It's this. Yeah. And then we go and we watch the game. Right. They turn off the playoffs and the flame goes out.
Right.
We got to figure out how to gain a collective we, or we're doomed.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is I'm going to use my media. Everything I do, my next film is about the prison system, solitary confinement. We're getting crushed on every single side. Like I said, this isn't just a police thing. This is a get the fuck out of here. We're going to wipe you from the face of the earth thing.
It's true. You know what's interesting?
It's a Flint thing. It's all over.
I'm writing. My books have all had that kind of perspective. I'm writing one called How to Survive America. And it talks about, you know, from the Spanish flu is really no different in how it affected black people than this current phenomenon right now. But now hearing you, like, I remember specifically watching Birth of a Nation, and I was already excited about it and how it had a certain trajectory. And then those allegations came up against you, and seeing now you were a black man who was tried by a jury of your peers, found to be innocent. But when they didn't like the answer, they went back and said, you know what? This caused this, and we're going to do this. See, I have this idea that they never kill or try black men once. if they kill you, they just kill you, your idea, who you were, your notion of civility and humanity. They have to do all of that to kind of reaffirm who they are. And I can see now, like hearing you, I go, wow, if these motherfuckers heard you say that, no wonder they're going to do that shit to you.
And also the reason why they wanted to divide us, because that's exactly what happened during that time. Right. We weren't talking about the film. We were talking about, we took our eyes off the prize.
You know what? I think the toughest thing about, you know, being an artist that think he's called to do something, and then dealing with, that very specific situation. And I keep it real. You know, I didn't respond the way I should have. I didn't recognize that so many people were triggered by the fact that I was so indignant and I wasn't recognizing other people had going through this thing. And I made a lot of mistakes in the way that I responded and I approached it. But, you know, and I apologize to those people, whoever, you know, the people that I offended. All I want to do, and it's interesting because you can't make content for people who you can't reach because you've done something to upset them or to hurt them. And then during that time, I was like, man, like, all I want to do is see us win. All I want to do is push us forward. And now I'm in this situation, you know? So it's, you know, like I said, that was a moment in my life where I used judgment the way I approached things and answered things and handled myself. And, you know, but
so you had a moment where you were human. And I think that's, we don't get the latitude of humanity. Now, obviously, we all have things we have done in our life. The big story, you actually didn't commit a crime. You didn't do. Now, maybe the empathy quotient wonders how it could have been. But ultimately, in this situation, in almost invariably what's sent to happen to us is that we are never just, it's never just a thing. It's never just either yes or no. It is but. Because you can't have just done this. What about what it did here? What about that? And we're the only people who have to, A, have our stories in the middle, but have to have all the answers. Have to have all the answers. You're an artist. You do your thing. And I think that one of the things that's very important, at least one of the reasons I was excited to have you here, is because I know what it's like to want to talk to people that aren't even there. To want to say to the people the thing. And people have to be in tune or even they have to have their appetite wet for hearing things. Right now, a premise for us that's accepted is, he did it, how come he couldn't do it? Like, in other words, we're always judged by the exception and never the rule. And they get to be judged by the rule and not the exception.
But it's their game. I think that we have to just recognize when it comes to, like, liberation, like, for real, when it comes to us saying, how are we going to deal with police brutality or education system. I mean, how tragic is it that, you know, there you got Chinatown, you got Koreatown, you got Little Ethiopia, you got all these different places where they've been able to uplift their communities, write things in their language on the walls. And you know how you know you're in the ghetto? Because you see trash on the street. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's Blacktown. Blacktown is the place where the poor people live. You know, I go to church in Inglewood, and I drive that Sunday, and it's the saddest part of my week, and I feel useless. I feel helpless because I feel like, man, like, I can't be okay with this. I'm literally driving through this to go and worship, you know, and to ask God for provision and sustainability and for liberation for our people. And then I go out that door and drive right back through. You know, have you driven past Skid Row lately?
Of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't see other people. You don't see a whole, you see us. Yeah. How is it we're 7% of LA, or like 7% of LA and 70% of the homeless?
Right.
Like, what the fuck is going on?
Right.
And we've been conditioned to believe that we have to handle one bucket at a time. Right now is the police bucket. And the only way we're going to be able to do it if we change this person out. Guys, we're in a crisis. The type of crisis that I truly believe, I read an article 10 years ago. It said, if the next 50 years is like the last 50 years, we will not exist in this country outside of sports and entertainment, the prison industrial complex, and those who are assimilated.
Right.
Which is why when kids, what do they tell us? Yo, you both know. What do they tell us when you're kids, when you show promise? They say, you can make it out of here.
Yep.
You can be one. A teacher, look me, and the teachers don't look like us. You can get out of here. around these little niggas. That's basically what they're saying. Right. So now my only goal in life, not to mention I'm watching cartoons as a kid, and the commercials I'm seeing is Sally Struthers.
Yeah, so true.
With the damn kids with their flies walking on their eyes. So what are the things that I believe when I'm a kid? The first thing I believe is shit. I ain't African. If African is these little skinny, whatever, flies walking on their eyes, I am not that. Boom. Culture gone. The next thing, man, if I can get from around these other niggas, I might have a chance. Next thing, I got to run real fast and jump real high or else. It's the fucking lottery.
Yeah.
We are playing the numbers by being born black. And if we don't find a way to change that, let me tell you a secret, and everybody who's listening, they ain't going to change it. No one's coming to save us. We spend so much strategy around, we could just get them to see. They don't fucking want to see.
Yeah.
And I hate to jump out the window and, you know, or be angry, but if we're not being triggered as black people every single day when we are eyes open, something's wrong.
Man, I couldn't have. I tell you what. Of course, I'm going to steal everything you just said, but that's not the point. What we have to do is focus on the message, Nathaniel. We have to focus on the message. I think you're just, you know what I think? I see why the industry was frightened of you. I can see, because it takes more than an artistic viewpoint. But I remember that the people who are inspired to be more than they currently are see things that we wish we could or should. And I see that in you, man. You're a dope artist and an even more dope black man. I'm glad Absolutely. To have you on, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Don't forget American Skin is available on all major streaming platforms. Check it out.
And forget he said that. And attributed all to me. All of that shit he said. Nate Parker, thank you, man.